As we remain seated, may we bow our heads to pray. Father, as we continue our series about the one another's in the scriptures you teach us, we pray that you will help us to have open hearts and minds as we hear from you this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, if you can have your Bible open at Ephesians 4, verses 30 to 32, that'd be very handy. But if you haven't got a Bible, don't worry, because there's going to be some things and words and pictures on the screen just to remind us. Hopefully, Jessica, the first one should be up there. Not many of us have tigers at home who have ripped the settee to shreds who need forgiveness, but maybe you have dogs or cats that do such things. I couldn't resist putting that one up on the screen, and now I'm alive, I think. Yes, just about. Fantastic, thank you. So much has been written about forgiveness. And as we continue our series on the one another's, about the body of Christ, the church, in the scriptures, today it's forgive one another. Makes me think, I don't know about you, but so much has been written about forgiveness. Even those of you who are into Charles Dickens, Marley's Ghost in A Christmas Carol says, we must not drag the chain of the past with us wherever we go. I wonder if any of us do that with unforgiven sins. It reminds us that forgiveness can refer to ourselves before God, but also that it's commanded between Christians too. Commanded, notice, as Molly read to us from Matthew 2. Forgive one another. Oh, what's happened there? Can you go back to the pictures, Jessica? Oh, Rob, sorry, it's you. Beg your pardon. Sorry, you've changed. It's not Jessica, it's Rob. Fantastic. That's, if you leave that, that's the next one for me. And the next one, Rob, if you could. If you need to leave it there for me for a moment, I'm sorry. I wonder if I pose this question as I begin, what was your response the last time someone hurt you? Maybe not physically, maybe emotionally. Did you retaliate or did you take no action? Did you harbour bitterness in your heart where you can do great damage to yourself with an unforgiving spirit, maybe? In Ephesians 4:32, and hopefully this will work. It's not, Rob, if you wouldn't mind, it's done it again. I'll let you change it for me. The clicker's not working. If you can go back to slide 4, please. That next one for me. Fantastic. Here, Paul writes, if you've not got it in front of you, be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as God in Christ has forgiven you. Sounds so simple, doesn't it? Yet the truth is, it's not necessarily easy. When someone commits a terrible offence against you, say, no matter whether the hurt came by way of word or deed, forgiveness can be terribly difficult. A few stories for you this morning. The first one is of a lady called Victoria Ruvolo, I think her name was. She knew about forgiveness. In 2004, driving home one evening, an 18-year-old youth in a car driving the other way, and this is true, threw a frozen turkey through her windscreen. Now, we might laugh, but imagine. You can imagine, no doubt, the injuries that she sustained. A wired jaw, one eye affixed by synthetic film, and titanium plates fixed in her cranium. 9 months after she stood face to face with the offender, whose name was Ryan Cushing. He was trembling, fearful, and he was sorry. People, though, wanted to see him get his comeuppance. The sentence, though, outraged everyone. 6 months in prison, 5 years probation, counselling, and a bit of public service. The court erupted, objecting to this. All except Victoria, and this is a true story. The reduced sentence was her idea. In full view of everyone, she hugged Ryan tightly and stroked his hair. And as he sobbed into her shoulder, she said, I forgive you. I want your life to be the best it can. a Christian response. She allowed grace to shape her response. To accept grace, which we have, I trust, as Christians, is to accept the vow to give it, to forgive. Let's look this morning, if we can have the first slide, should be blank, Rob, next one up for me. Thank you. Let's look at forgiveness the other way up to begin with, shall we? Firstly, if you can click for me, Rob, the definition, thank you, of unforgiveness. If you want to understand unforgiveness, you must first, I think, know what forgiveness is. Forgiveness is the willingness to give up your resentment towards someone who has wronged you, regardless of how serious or painful that wrong might have been, and with no desire to get even. That was Victoria. I think we can identify three elements to forgiveness. To give up resentment about the wrong, to give up resentment against the wrongdoer, and to give up plans for retaliation. Forgiveness, you see, is more than just saying some words. It comes from in here. It comes from the heart. Unforgiveness, on the other hand, is a deliberate mindset to do the opposite, quite the opposite, to resent the wrong and the wrongdoer and to seek revenge. In Ephesians 4:31, those of you who've got the Bible open, Paul associates unforgiveness with bitterness, anger, slander, etc. Why would anyone choose those painful attitudes over tenderness, patience, gentleness, and a forgiving spirit? Sadly, many people become physically ill because they do just that. Thank you, Rob. The description of unforgiveness. Well, the unforgiving heart clings to the past, as I've referred to earlier, refusing to extend to others what our Heavenly Father has extended to you and to me. Verse 32, Ephesians 4, the apostle insists upon our forgiving each other. Insists, noticed, just as God in Jesus has also forgiven you. As a result of that resentful attitude, there can be certain negative consequences in the life of an unforgiving person. Maybe it's been you, I don't know, in the past. One of the most significant repercussions is that bitterness takes root in the heart, which can spread. We know what weeds are like, can spread and choke every godly trait there in your spirit. The truth is that people choose to be unforgiving, sadly. It's a deliberate decision and a self-inflicted pain. I don't think I'm wrong in saying that. We carry, don't we, the illusion that other people have caused our misery. But in reality, we have elected to take on a form of self-imposed bondage. It's a spiritual acid, if I can use that word, that eats through the spirit within us. Thank you, Rob. Another D, the disobedience of unforgiveness. The root of bitterness will keep you from being the person God wants you to be. Remember that, and I'll say that to myself. The refusal to forgive is an act of pride, I think, and rebellion. Deliberate disobedience to the word of God. When he taught his disciples to pray, as you just heard from Molly, Jesus added, "If you do not forgive others," Matthew 6:15, "then your Father will not forgive you your sins." Jesus teaches that we must forgive 70 times 7, which means we must always forgive. One woman was so infuriated by her husband's habit of leaving his socks lying around. I'm looking at ladies, and is anybody smiling here this morning? She was so infuriated, he reminded her then of Jesus' teaching, 70 times 7, forgive. And she replied, "Well, just you wait the 491st time. Work out the maths if you want to." Paul too writes that we should bear with one another and forgive one another because in the same way God has forgiven us. All these passages from God's word, the scriptures, make it very clear that unforgiveness is never an option for the committed believer. I speak that to my heart and mind as I share it with you. Fourthly, we have, thank you, Rob, the destruction of unforgiveness. What are the consequences of an unforgiving spirit? Well, Jesus teaches that God wants to answer our prayers. But I believe we must first forgive others. If we don't, it will make us bitter, as I've mentioned earlier. It will affect our prayer life, and it will affect our worship, and it will infect our walk with the risen Jesus. Jesus teaches that when we are in conflict, we are to stop and set matters right. That's why the peace is in a communion service, not so we can greet our friends necessarily, but to put ourselves right before we receive the bread and the wine. Our witnessing, our giving, and our overall spiritual growth are terribly weakened, I believe, by a heart that carries bitterness inside it. Every other aspect of life can be affected as well. It's a hard one, forgive one another. I hope you're getting the gist of that. The fifth one, Rob, thank you. Dealing with unforgiveness. Well, to confront an unforgiving spirit, the first requirement, I think, is to take it seriously and assume full responsibility for our own decisions and our own actions. We acknowledge unforgiveness as a sin and confess it honestly to God. And the next step, I think, from then is to lay our anger down, because then we can ask God's forgiveness of us. And after that, well, I think we should begin praying for that other person that hurt you. If that person has been aware of our bitterness, we should go to them and seek their forgiveness. We can also live out God's grace by serving them instead of resenting them. The debt must be forgiven and cancelled, just like our sins, Jesus promised, as we trust him, are forgiven. There's no possibility. It must be forgiven. And sixthly, demonstrating forgiveness. Well, some Christians believe that they've forgiven the person that's wronged them. But sadly, the roots of bitterness are still deep in their hearts. So how can you know you have truly forgiven someone? Well, I think first, you know you've forgiven when your feelings towards that other person, whoever they may be, has changed. When you see him or you see her, you will be aware that resentment is no longer there. And then secondly, you'll know forgiveness is genuine when you feel concern for that other person. You care about his or her spiritual welfare or physical well-being, and you want what is best for them. An African woman gave her heart to Jesus. True story again. Her husband was a chief of a Zulu tribe. When she told him what she'd done, he beat her brutally. As she was lying on the floor bleeding, the man mocked her and said, "Ha, now what can your Jesus do for you?" The woman picked herself up gently and tearfully said, "He can help me to forgive you." In 2006, 2nd of October, Charles Carl Roberts, you might remember this, entered an Amish school in Pennsylvania with guns, knives, ammunition, wire, and plastic ties. He bound 11 girls aged 6 to 15. He shot dead 10 of them and then killed himself. The tragedy stunned the nation in America. Even more so was the forgiveness of the Amish community. More than half of those who attended Roberts's funeral were Amish. An Amish midwife who helped at the birth of 7 of those 10 girls that were murdered, who planned to take food to Roberts's family, said, "This is possible if you have Jesus in your heart." I wanted to share that story and others because they're true. And they make me think and sit up and think, and I hope and pray they do us all. You see, God blesses us when we choose to forgive others. He removes all that baggage that weighs us down. And then all the goodness of Jesus' righteousness can come flooding into our spirits and our lives. And our lives can then be joyful and fulfilling as God wants them and created them to be. What about the person who wronged you last week, maybe? Let God sort that out. Your responsibility is to let go of all resentment that may still be there. As a body, and I know many of us aren't here today, we are to be a body of Christ, reflecting Jesus in all our relationships, and that includes here in our church. 4 weeks' time, the church will be shut. Oh dear me, it's not long, is it? We've been praying for this time over many years. We'll be worshipping in the school for a few weeks, and as your notice sheet says, we'll be going elsewhere, All Saints and Triangle, the following weeks. But during those times, it'll be unsettling, not just for the vicar, but for all of us. So bear with one another. Let's encourage one another. And maybe there'll be times when we'll have to forgive the vicar, forgive one another for things that don't go quite as we want them to be. When a friend makes a mistake, don't rub it in, rub it out. What about other scriptures? Thank you, Rob. Had to have that sign up, didn't I, as I share it. Proverbs 20, verse 22. I'm not sure if it's being recorded. I hope it is. Don't repay evil for evil. Wait for the Lord to handle the matter. Ephesians 3. Be gentle and ready to forgive. Never hold grudges. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. You may still ask, as I've mentioned earlier, how on earth do I forgive others? Well, folks, pray for them. Maybe our next slide, Rob, thank you. If you can read it up there behind me. But folks, pray for them too. And soon you will find as you pray God's blessing upon one who has offended you, then you will want to pray more and more for that person and their needs. Also ask God's help. Seek his help to forgive. Admit that you're having trouble forgiving. If you're like me, we all do. God will help you by giving grace to forgive, as Victoria did, as the Amish community did in those stories I've shared. And remind yourself that you've been forgiven everything. But three things as I conclude. Three things which might be useful as we think about all this idea of forgiving and what it means in our lives. One essential for a forgiving spirit is kindness. 2 weeks' time, Toby and I'll be doing the All Age on kindness. That should be interesting. Just for a moment, consider God's kindness towards you, to us who don't deserve it. If I'm going to forgive, I must show kindness. Another essential to kindness is being tender-hearted. Tender-heartedness, if there's such a thing. A hard heart, you see, robs us of blessings and joy. Paul makes it clear that if we don't have a tender heart, we can never be forgiving. And thirdly, along with kindness, tender-heartedness is honesty, a third essential. I don't know again about your experience, but if you take that first step, God can work in the other person's heart and progress is made. I've seen it in church fellowships. I've seen it here. In a church fellowship, we cannot let things fester. So go to that person and humbly and honestly ask forgiveness. Try to put it right. Why? Because God in Jesus has forgiven us. Thank you, Rob. My last slide. Forgiveness, you see, is a choice. While forgiving may be difficult, not forgiving, as I've mentioned, is even harder and tougher. And if we don't forgive, I believe we grieve God's Spirit. If we don't forgive, we're not walking in love as he commands us. Ephesians 5, 2, and walk in love as Christ has also loved us and given himself for us. Fifth, forgiveness, you see, is the key that unlocks the door of resentment and the handcuffs of hate. It's a power that breaks the chains of bitterness and the shackles of selfishness. Let's, folks, as we journey into these next very interesting 3 months together, let's be kind and tender-hearted and honest with one another. Let's forgive one another when we wind each other up, and we're bound to do that because we're human beings. What a witness that would be for folk who are not believers yet to see how we love and how we forgive one another, and in that see our risen Saviour, Jesus Christ. The bishop yesterday at the Darston Synod said this: he believes that God is calling us to be more than we imagined possible. And I say amen to that, and I hope you do too. I believe God's going to do great things with us in the future as our churches change, as we as individuals and as a body change. Let's be forgiving people, loving, honest, tender-hearted, and kind. Let's bow our heads, shall we, to pray. Heavenly Father, it's a difficult word to hear when you command us to forgive, to be forgiving. Help us. Please help us when we find it so difficult. And engender in each one of us and us as a community here, make us a people who are kind and tender-hearted, who are honest, loving, and forgiving, we pray, for the glory of Jesus' name. Amen.